T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And set to join us at 9:30. Two big segments for the listeners today in which we will want your feedback. We are now 15 days away from round one of the NFL draft on ESPN/the NFL Network. We're beginning a countdown today, looking back on the decade that was 2010 through 2019 when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers and their draft classes. Every day at 7:30, we're going to go back, thoroughly break down, discuss, and grade one of the previous draft classes that has taken place over the last decade, and we're going to go in order. So we start today with 2010, which was a hell of a draft class. That will be at 7:30. We'll want your thoughts on that. 1 hour after it, at 8:30, we have a question for everybody today. If you could go back and change one NFL draft pick, any draft class, any round, any player at any time, what would it be? We're going to go down the rabbit hole with the butterfly effect on that one. But we begin with a simple hello. How are you today, Dibs?
Doing great, Joe. It's Wu-Tang Wednesday, and you know that after today's show, we're 3/5 of the way through the, quote, work week. It's a strange work week. It's really a multitude of days for me here. It's the radio show, usually a nap, and then a lot of yard work, low, and then good old-fashioned parenting in the evening, a lot of conversation with the kids and cooking meals and whatnot. But, you know, Wednesday, they call it the hump day, Lo, for darn good reason, I think.
Lo, how are you doing today?
Well, I won't be as elaborate as deep as Dibs was, but I'm good. I'm great. It's a blessing every day to be able to get up in the morning and be able to still be able to be in the land of the living. So I'm very, very thankful. I'm very, very grateful to be still here. And I'm excited. Excited about just life. Excited about the opportunity. Excited about where we're going. So can't wait. This is going to be a fun 15 days. I know that there's so many people, Niner fan, the Niner faithful, are thinking, what is this Niner pick going to be at 13? What are they going to do? They're trading. Will they do it? All just so many things. So I think it's going to be great just to go down the previous drafts leading up to the draft. So this is going to be a lot of fun, Joe.
If you come from a place like New York City, Paris, Tokyo, one of the major cities, one of the cosmopolitan cities around the globe, it's not going to be a surprise if your hometown makes national headlines. If you're from Lemoore, California, and your hometown's making national headlines, you got to ask yourself, what's going on? Is this good? Is this bad? What is going on? Lo sends the story out. It's all over the place. It broke yesterday. We were talking yesterday about UFC 249. Dana White is going to forge ahead. What he wants to do is secure a private island somewhere where he can hold fights every single week. Supply and demand, people. There's a big demand for sports and live programming, and there is virtually no supply. Dana White sees an opportunity to grab some eyeballs. You can understand where he's coming from. Whether you agree or not is a different question. The word came out yesterday, though, that UFC 249 scheduled to take place a week from Saturday, April 18th. How is this pronounced? Is it Tachi Palace Casino Resort in Lemoore?
Tachi Palace. Yeah.
That's where he's going to hold it. Apparently, according to multiple reports, UFC 249 headed to Lemoore. UFC has been to Brazil. It's been to Asia. It's been to Las Vegas on a repeated basis. It has been to some of the biggest and baddest and most world-renowned cities on the planet. And now, Lemoore, finds itself up there in the top marquee alongside Madison Square Garden.
This is a we got to dive into this rabbit hole, guys. This is something we should talk about for the next 4 hours. And let me start by this, Dibs. I know you want to chime in. Just hold, keep it in your pants, all right? Keep it in the holster. let me let you. So I called my brother, you know, the mayor of Lemoore. We got to make sure that hey, Dana. And we're like, okay, do we want it here? And you know, so we, you know, they give us the call. So
All right. I gotta stop. Bring it back because that's a big nugget right there.
Huge.
Was the Neal family in any way involved in any of this?
Well, you know, I can't confirm or deny. We can get the mayor on, the mayor of Lemoore. We can get him on the phone if we like. I got him on speed. I got him on speed dial. But, you know, we're just trying to bring some revenue to the town. And you know what? If you can't get an island, the next best. If you, you know, Joe and Dibs, if you can't get an island, next best thing's Lemoore. You know?
I've got that tattooed on my back.
Thank you. Hey, there's more in Lemoore. Drew Brees has, you know, equity there in Lemoore. He's got the biggest water park. He's involved in that thing in Lemoore. If you think
Kelly Slater, is that the Kelly Slater wave?
Yes. And if I may, there's been, we talk about the Son of God. You know where he fought lots at? Tachi Palace in Lemoore.
Andre Ward's Wikipedia page. You can see all of his fights. Early on, he fought down there at Tachi Palace quite a bit.
So, Dibs, before we go and crop dust Lemoore, just understand, they're stars made and born in the L-Town.
I'm very happy for you.
Young came up.
And I'm happy for your brother. The idea that, you know, you do a radio show, you think about a radio career, and you never know where it's going to lead you. But how many radio shows in the country have, you know, the brother of any mayor on the program, let alone the brother of the mayor of a town that is making global news? Because Joe's right. This is really one of the only sports games on the planet. You've got a little horse racing here and there. You've got some European soccer that's still going on in the smaller leagues. But this is about it. So we've got the brother of the mayor, Joe, making global news because of a place called Tachi Palace. The old Indian gaming loophole coming through again for the good old UFC.
UFC 248 was in Las Vegas. UFC 247 in Houston. 246 was in Vegas. 245 was in Vegas. 244, Madison Square Garden, New York City. 243, Melbourne, Australia. 242, Abu Dhabi. 241, Anaheim, California. 240, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. 239 was back in Las Vegas. 238 was in Chicago. 237 was in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. 236 was in Atlanta, Georgia. The list goes on and on, but UFC 249, Lemoore now up there with Rio de Janeiro, with Chicago, Illinois, with Las Vegas, with New York City. You done came up down there in Lemoore. I don't even know y'all anymore.
Hey, listen, guys, if you guys want to come down weekend, we can practice. You know, I can get you guys set up, have some properties down there. I got a couple empty homes, you know, 3-4 bedrooms, if you like, fully furnished. So I can hook you guys up. You know, I'll show you guys the town. If we need to do things like that, guys, hey, I'm here to share. I'm here to show love. So
once again, we are in the midst of a global pandemic. Nobody is going anywhere. These suggestions about all these things you want to do outside, you can't do them. I do find this interesting. The Indian casino loophole. Okay, I can understand. White was looking for something. He's got something. Supply and demand. Everyone's trying to figure it out. I get this. Newsom's on TV every day talking about this. San Francisco and California's tried to be ahead of the curve, and now the UFC is going to hold a sporting event here in the state. Do we see issues with this? Is this going to become a problem for anybody involved here, Dibs, in your opinion?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not taking a shot at Lemoore to say this. I'm really happy that Lemoore has done come up, as some might say, and this is going to be a great event for them and all that, but it's just too early. It's not safe. You're talking about holding fights where the medical committee or the medical board that normally helps fights and sanctions fights, they're pulling out. They're not going to be there with their usual medical team. So when somebody gets hurt, we're going to use members of the medical community to help an injured fighter as opposed to perhaps helping fight this ongoing pandemic. I just think it's a bad look, but because it's on sovereign land, they're not beholden to the shelter-in-place order. They're not beholden to the fight regulations that normally regulate all fights in the state. So Dana White sees this, and he wants to have his bout, so he's going to go ahead and do it.
What do you make of it, Mo? And again, none of this is men as a shot at Lemore. It's all about Lemore coming up today, baby. It's all about coming up in the world today.
You know, I don't, Joe, I don't know. We got to first see what's going to happen. Are they going to open it up, the arena? Is it going to be, you know, let everyone in there? Are they going to have many people? So before we just throw stones and just automatically just think that it's going to be just a free fall and thousands of people are going to be allowed in. The casino, by the way, is closed, Joe. I was down there some weeks ago. They shut it down. The casino in Lemoore, Tachi Palace, is shut down. And that's a huge part of Lemoore. You know, the reservations there with the school, Gino, I know, you know, the chief, you know, everyone on their committee. They want you get involved in the Boys and Girls Club out there. And so they have so many local things that the casino brings revenue through the city to Lemoore. So they do a lot there out at the palace, but the casino has been shut down. So they are, the Lemoore is taking this quarantine very serious. They have shut it down, and it supplies a lot of jobs in Lemoore. So I don't know if there's going to be a full stadium. So I think we got to figure out how this is going to look before we just say, before we go down that rabbit hole.
I'd have to imagine this is going to be a behind closed doors sort of event.
Right,
I think there's
right.
only going to be the fighters. Maybe each guy gets a man in his corner. There's the referee. And then I think Dana White's going to be ringside watching, and that's it. I don't think anyone's going to be there. The very idea, sovereign land or not, of even thinking about having fans in there, it would create a major problem. So if you're going to try to pull this off, what do you always say? Walk easy when you got your hand in the lion's mouth.
Yes,
we're
going to
walk
yes,
easy here,
yes,
but there is an opportunity yes. for people. The one concern is, what happens after the fights? Does everyone just go about their merry way? Because you're going to have a handful of people come into contact with one another. And this handful of people, they've already come into contact with a small group of people as well. So again, this is that exponential growth that we see. So you're in your camp, presumably with a trainer, a cut man, you know, your team, your family members. You've also got sparring partners. You're in contact with all these people, as well as the equipment. Who knows if anyone else is training there? Then you're going to take all those people you've come into contact with. You're going to get in the ring, and you're going to come into contact with the official and your opponent. And then what happens when the fight's over? If you're fine, do you go about your merry way? Do you get on a plane? Do you travel somewhere else? Do you come into contact with other people?
Right.
And now that becomes a domino effect again. So I wonder what the plan is for something like that.
Well, what it is, Dibs, what we're doing is I have one of my homes in the Forums less than three drivers away. I'm serious. From the house, I could see the casino was less than a mile away. So I can have them there, Joe, and I have the stalls, and I can spray them down with the cleaning disinfectant. So we can just spray. He's like, where are you going with this?
Three drives away, which means the casino is about 1,000 yards to his right if it's three
yes,
drives away.
It, you know what?
Not straight in front of him.
It is
to
my
right. Yeah, of course it is.
Hey, nice guy. If you don't mind me asking, what's up with the Warriors?
That was a good one. What's up with the Warriors is brought to you by Ceramonte Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. Jabari Young of CNBC reports that NBA owners could get some financial relief in the form of returned pay and any compensation deal with players, according to multiple people with knowledge of the situation. In an hour-long call on Tuesday afternoon, executives at the National Basketball Players Association cleared up misinformation and told agents that any compensation deal constructed by the NBPA and league owners will include refunds on all NBA contracts. The repayments will hit hardest for players who receive their paychecks on a six-month cycle, guys.
Kirk Reeder, a.k.a. Woody, set to join us in about 47 minutes at 7 o'clock. We have a report from our friend Andrew Marchand of the New York Post on what the NFL draft is going to look like from a visual standpoint, how all the groups are going to come together, how many channels it's going to be on, how many people are going to be involved. That plus, there is an NFL head coach, a well-respected one at that, who's concerned about hacks taking place during the NFL draft. We've got all that for you next. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Shut up, guys.
On 95.7 The Game.
Golden State Lumber. As an essential service, their lumber yards are going to remain open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Call 855-GSL-YARD or visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Tell you what, we open with a positive story, or at least we thought. The UFC 249, if it's going to happen somewhere, why not Tachi Palace in old Lemoore, California? Rio de Janeiro, Chicago, Illinois, Las Vegas, Melbourne, New York City, and now Lemoore, finding itself on the mount of worldwide cities. It's unbelievable. But the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 just really trying to get after us. From the 510, mm-hmm. UFC 249, live from the Moo.
Can't call it that anymore. The L-Town. Can't call it that. We didn't came up. Get rid of all that. There is more in Lemoore. We're going to make T-shirts. There is more in Lemoore.
How about this one? From the 408, man, UFC has really gotten desperate to sink as low as Lemoore. That's just, I don't like that at all.
We don't need to read these out. Those are facts.
And then I believe there was one more. It was an interesting question. From the 650, yeah. They're curious, since you're connected down there, are they going to sell grilled cheese and chicken milk?
It's pretty good.
So lot to dissect as we work through UFC 249 1 week from today. Lemoore, California, according to a variety of reports. I'm just fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by it because you're from a really small town. I'm from a pretty small town. Like, the claim is Billy Joel singing a song defaming my town, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Right. But whenever it pops up, it's like, oh, hey, look, Allentown's in the news.
Exactly.
Never good. Exactly. There was an explosion at a plant there once that made national news. You really don't get a whole lot of positive stuff coming out of there. Lemoore, you really never hear about it at all. It's even smaller. So the fact that you are now up there with Rio de Janeiro, with New York City, with Melbourne, Australia, this is big, Low. This is big.
Think about it. Less than 10,000 people growing up there in Lemoore. Think about it. But listen at this, though. We put a man on the moon. We put Tommy Smith in the Olympics. Think about what Lemoore. We have put like 8 or 9 guys in the league in this small little town. You know, your boy, just a small town boy living in, just a small town boy living in a lonely world from the L town.
Close enough.
Think about what we've been able, think about what this little small town's been able to do. And I'm always telling Dibs healthy things. I told him eat lemons, helps fight against Corona. Also, Dibs, you get my videos I've been sending you.
All right, let's throttle back on that. First of all, I don't think you have any actual, lemon helps against Corona.
Yes.
How do you know that? Now, when you say things like that, I have to question it because we can't be handing out crazy medical advice here.
Lemons, avocado, little hot tea, hot things. No, look it up, and I'll send you over a list that was. Dibs, why are you always
Dibs not happy?
I'm trying really hard today. I woke up in a great mood. I'm feeling really good about myself. My beard's coming in nice. And I look at you. First of all, you're gesturing at me while Joe's talking with this lemon. So I know there's some lemon material coming. And I don't know what it is. Then you're just sitting there chewing on it and spitting it in your own hand. And additionally, you got multiple stains already on your shirt from the eating you've been doing. And it's 6:20 in the morning. So I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd, Ringo.
Don't laugh
if I can
at him,
borrow
Joe.
From Pulp Fiction. I'm trying real hard, Ringo. I'm trying to be the shepherd. Anyway, yes, Lemoore, right. The Rio of the Valley. Where were we?
Have a lemon, protect yourself from Corona is apparently the message coming out of Lemoore these days.
That's good advice. Eat on live radio.
They're hosting UFC. They're putting man on the moon. They're curing the pandemic. It's a lot going on in the Central Valley. Andrew Marchand from the New York Post, good friend of the program. What unprecedented NFL draft 2020 will look like in ESPN's hands. Great breakdown on the article. We'll try to tweet this out from the Joe Low and Dibs account. For those of you curious, 15 days from today, the NFL draft begins April 23rd. It looks like the NFL Network is going to partner up with ESPN. And we've been telling you about this. The NFL Network is based out of New Jersey and California. They're not going to be able to get into their studios. Bristol, Connecticut, different rules right now. So they've got studio space that they can use to put on this draft. So you're going to have Trey Wingo hosting it. Louis Riddick is supposed to be there. And you're going to have Booger McFarland, Mel Kiper, a huge crew working from Bristol. You're also going to have, it looks like, Daniel Jeremiah and Rich Eisen from the NFL Network taking part. So those guys will work together. In addition, Roger Goodell will be from home announcing the picks. They've sent cameras to all the high-profile prospects so that they can go to them for interviews very shortly thereafter being picked. So Joe Burrow from LSU, number one to Cincinnati. You cut to Joe Burrow. Susie Colbert's doing an interview. Where it gets interesting as well is that ESPN's parent company is Disney, which means they also own ABC. ABC is going to step into the coverage this year as well from a college perspective. Reese Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, David Pollack, and Todd McShay, who will be working from home.
Todd.
Exactly. These guys are going to give you draft coverage from the college football perspective. So you're going to have the NFL perspective. What does Joe Burrow mean for the Bengals from the ESPN studios that have Trey Wingo hosting? And then you're going to talk about Joe Burrow, the college player, with Rhys Davis and Kirk Herbstreit and all the guys that are on the game day cast over on the ABC network. So it looks like it's going to be pretty robust coverage here with a lot of people involved. They're going to do a dry run, it looks like, sometime this week. They're going to get all 32 teams involved in a mock draft on Zoom to try to figure out, or whatever software device they're using to try to figure out how to do it. First question out of the gate, Dibs, how do you think the ratings are going to be for this sort of thing? Given where we are as a country right now and as a world, you think we're going to see big ratings for this?
Yes, it's going to be bigger than it normally is. And normally the ratings are so awe-inspiring and so humbling if you're one of the other sports that you realize that this thing's turned into a smash hit. I know it's been a big deal for 10, 15, 20 years, depending on how hardcore you are as a football fan. But for the general audience, the draft has become an entertaining TV show. And this year, with nothing else going on, and Lo mentioned it earlier, 15 days from now, we're still all going to be sheltered in place. 90% of the country, at least, will still be sheltered. So the ratings for this are going to be bigger than ever. I'll say 25% higher than last year.
Ooh, 25% higher, and last year was a big smash as well. Lo, I take it you're in agreement. You got to figure with so little going on, the NFL draft is going to crush this year from a ratings perspective.
It really is, and I think that they're getting together a great cast, and not just that, just the diversity you're going to get from the different analysts is going to be pretty much haven't seen. Now you're going to have the college perspective guys on there as well as the pros. I really do believe it's going to be a smash hit. There's not a lot going on. And even moving forward, I think you can keep this type of format, but still definitely have the draft where people can come and show up, and that'll be good once this thing clears up. But I think from here on out, you'll see this type of draft, not necessarily maybe to Zoom as much, but just with all the different networks, the way that they're trying to make this, roll this thing out, a lot of these things are going to change. I think for more than just football, for a lot of sports and just in general, a lot of things are changing with this epidemic.
It's going to be extremely cost effective. And once you realize that you can put on a similar product for much, much cheaper, you're going to move forward with that. I've seen this firsthand. I'm a contributor to an ESPN show, and back in the day, just a couple years ago, if you were a contributor on anything with that network, you would have to go to a local studio that could patch you in to Bristol. The one here in town costs $1,000 an hour to rent that out. $1,000. Think about how many people around the country, when Michael Wilbon would be here for the NBA Finals, Wilbon would go to the same studio and he'd do Pardon the Interruption there. And you're renting that out for probably 2 hours because you got to get there early, you got to get set up, you're there for the 30 minutes, you're there afterwards. Like, the cost just rolls up. They realized that why not create a wing of individuals who could just fly to your home and install a home studio. Dan Orlovsky, Adam Schefter, you see with the NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, just coming in, giving you a backdrop. You use an iPad. You use this simple app software that plugs you in. You connect your earpiece to a cell phone and you dial in. They install some professional lighting. I mean, 1 week at $1,000 an hour, $5,000. This studio here in my house is far less expensive than that, and now you can use it for years. So Lowe's right. You're going to start implementing new ways to get information out there, and then you're going to realize that it's much more cost effective and that this could be the way of the future. I'm curious, and I don't know the answer to this. Does Major League Baseball televise any portion of its draft? Because this would be something they could do. You don't have to put it on the MLB network, but why not put together a first round televised program where you could get to know some of these prospects over those first 30 picks, whether it be on their social media networks? Like, I thought to myself, I've seen the hockey draft and I know the hoops and the NBA and the NFL draft. What about baseball, though? I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, the big problem with baseball is that there's so much variance, excuse me, in who might be picked, because you've got college stars, you've got high school phenoms, you've got overseas players. I think the pool of players for the baseball first round is so deep that it's hard to produce the same type of programming. But you're right, Joe, with the cost-effective nature of just a camera, a couple of lights, and a cell signal, you can make anything happen. I know baseball does do something with their first round, but it's not nearly as elaborate even as what hockey does.
Lo, out of curiosity, this is from the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. What type of soup do you serve at a UFC event in Lemoore? Going to get to the bottom of that before the end of the show.
What
We're not doing soup, okay? We're practicing safe distances. Leave us alone.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. All right, we didn't even get to this, so we'll talk about it next. There's a well-respected NFL coach who is concerned about potential hacks taking place during the NFL draft. We're going to discuss that. Plus, there's a GM out there who thinks the draft should extend itself by 3 rounds this year. It's very interesting who's saying that, and there's a great reason why. All that's coming up next. But first, while we adapt to the new normal, Chilton Auto Body is committed to helping maintain a sense of normalcy. All 12 Chilton Auto Body locations remain open to support you, and they'll pick up and deliver your car when it's ready for the road. Schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
Dan Dibley here, Nostra Dibless.
On 95.7 The Game.
Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank. Still open to serve the community they love with full service banking, no compromises. Joe, Low, and Dibs with a reminder, you can take us on the go. Just download the radio.com app today and favorite 95.7 The Game. For those of you just joining us today, your guest list as follows. Kirk Reeder will join us at 7 o'clock. Keith Law at 8 o'clock. Mark Schlereth, the three-time Super Bowl champ, at 9. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL quarterback, at 9:30. Two big segments where we're going to need your help. At 7:30 today, we begin our look at the past decade of 49ers draft classes. 15 days until the NFL draft. So over our next 10 shows, we're going to look at the 2010 draft class, 2011, 2012. We're going to grade it. We're going to dissect it. We're going to talk to you about it every day at 7:30 over the next 10 shows. So today at 7:30, we begin with the 2010 draft class. In addition, at 8:30, we're going to ask you the following question. You can go back in time to any draft, and you can change one pick. What would it be? I got a feeling Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers is going to be a big one. Jamarcus Russell, we might get a few phone calls on that, but dig deep, come up with your best stuff. That's at 8:30 today. The number's 888-957-9570. John Harbaugh, Super Bowl champ of the Baltimore Ravens, is in fact concerned over the NFL draft. 15 days from today, April 23rd. Quote, yeah, big concern about the hacks. Every time I read something in like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times that talks about how messed up Zoom is or some of these other deals, I immediately text it to our IT people and Nick Mateo's one of those guys. And they assure me that we are doing everything humanly possible. Harbaugh says later, quote, we'll see what happens. I really wouldn't want the opposing coaches to have our playbook or our draft meetings. That would be preferable if we can stay away from that. End quote, John Harbaugh. You can't fault Harbaugh. This is the same guy whose team was, according to many, a victim of Deflategate, because that was the team that tipped off the Indianapolis Colts the following week. The Ravens lost to the Patriots. They told the Colts about it. The Colts lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and then they ratted out the Patriots to the league. That's the link of dominoes as to how that played out. So if you're Harbaugh, Low, you got to figure he's taking every precaution here, but at the same time, is it worth getting worked up about this? Do you think this is a legitimate concern in draft offices around the country?
I think that any time that you have a chance for information to leak, it becomes a concern. How big of a concern? I don't know if it's something that you lose nights of sleep over. I look at, even when I played, you'd have, you know, your scouting report. Guys would sometimes be careless with them, and that's why you would have a fine. And you would have to physically make sure that you turned it in, and it's a checklist that if you had anything missing out of there, you're fine, $5,000, whatever. So they you can't, if you don't have a lost playbook or freaking you lose the material, they want to make sure that they have that. So they collect it. And all this stuff now is on the iPad. You can, boom, have it, upload it, download it. So you want to make sure that, you know, that you keep that. So the guys are responsible for that, Joe. So, yes, you do have to be concerned. But where you're going and saying, oh, my God, I can't sleep over it. No, you got to realize people that really want to get that deep, individuals that have that heart for that, that's trying to steal Social Security numbers. If they flash and see your card, you leave your card on a table, you know, and if I'm that desperate,
then you know the heart. You know that certain people just, that's their intent. It's not about hard work. It's about a hustle. And if organizations are that bad or trying to steal that kind of information because of the hustles that serious, then you know that, hey, it's going to catch up with them. So I don't think that everyone's in that same church that they're just going to go all out to steal information.
Yeah, but why take chances? And that's where you think about all the things that have happened in and around pro football and pro sports. What, the Astros cheating scandal? Did you ever think that a team would resort to banging on trash cans with bats in order to signal the hitters what pitches were coming? I mean, we all know about sign stealing, but when you learned about what the Astros did, how elaborate, alleged buzzers on their bodies so that they could be signaled in that fashion, it blows you away when you realize.
As I was saying
that it blew me away, that would indicate to you that, in fact, I was, wait for it, blown away. And when you realize things like Spygate, that they were recording, videotaping the opposing team's walkthrough in order to get that edge, there is that desperation out there. So without a doubt, I would imagine some team is going to try to hack in to another team's Zoom feed because you're going to try to get every edge you can possibly get.
Prison bet. Prison bet. $3 million, for those who don't know, prison bet. $3 million in your pocket if you're right, but if you're wrong, you spend a year in San Quentin prison. Do you think some team, some employee from a team somewhere of the 32 teams will attempt, at least make the attempt, to hack another team in the NFL draft this year? Dibs.
Yes, without a doubt.
You believe at least one team's going to try?
I believe one team has already tried, at least. They're already working on it, without a doubt. As soon as they realize that this thing's going to be all remote and all internet-based, of course they're trying to do that. And I don't want to, you know, slander the team that's most likely to do it, but there's a franchise out there that's been caught not once but twice videotaping the opposition.
Prison bet, do you think at least one team will take a shot at trying to hack someone else's draft?
Not right now. Everyone's trying to take care of themselves, getting the right firewalls in. And for Dibs to say this is how it is, look at the world we live in, from people trying to steal people's friggin' speeches, from you look at our military, you got firewalls trying to protect it, and still people are trying to get it. So when we talk about this, it's like, dude, in any job, someone's stealing employees. Why are you taking employees? Why someone from Apple takes whoever? Maybe this is just the way of the world. This is why do you take different employees? Because you think that they have a better mind, maybe because they bring in more to the table. So you're stealing information. This is not so for us to think that it's just going to be, oh my God, and Dibs, I understand. You're like, oh, why take chances? It's not about taking chances. You do the proper things. You get the right firewalls. But for you to make this out to be a war, for you to make this out to be so, oh my God, these teams are going to do that. I mean, come on. They got more time. They got to worry about trying to draft. They got a season to play. Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They got players to take care of. You got it. Okay.
You're making
so
my point for me. So thank you.
This is for me to sit and just think that it's just, I don't know, Joe. It just kind of feels a little weird to me for him to be all in on someone just stealing.
It's just another piece of the puzzle. It's not like this is the only thing you're going to do in your draft preparation, but as you're checking all the boxes, part of the things you're going to go through is not make sure, but see if we can't explore what's going on around us. It's not a question of we absolutely must find out this information. For you to think that teams aren't going to try to get all the information they can get, it's yet another ostrich take from the pride of the move.
Hit
the text line, please.
All right, text line 95795, question from the Moo. Do you believe at least one team, prison bet, $3 million if you're right, tax-free, but you spend a year in San Quentin if you're wrong. Do you believe at least one NFL team will attempt, not have success, they don't have to have success, they'll just attempt. Someone will have a meeting somewhere or a discussion, and there will be an attempt to try and hack another team's draft. Chilton Auto Body, text line 95795. I'll throw this one out there, and this might just be the conspiracy theorist in me. I'm not going to limit this to other teams. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if one of these hacker groups out there tries to hack Goodell's feed or something else. Remember, you're going to have a big portion of the world watching this. It's one thing if the Patriots are trying to figure out what the Ravens are up to. Okay, I can understand that. And maybe they'll have the people that can pull that off. But you've got some very sophisticated hacker groups out there that might be a little cooped up and bored based on how the world's been playing out the last few weeks, and they might see this as an opportunity to get a message out there. Free so-and-so, do this, do that, the government's lying to you, whatever it may be. Not saying I agree with it, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if while we're watching this, you try to cut to Joe Burrow's feed or some player's feed, because are all those going to be protected? Can we trust that when, for example, Jerry Jeudy gets picked, that that feed isn't going to be compromised where someone could slide in and get a message across to you? Just a few seconds of airtime in front of millions and millions of eyes. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if that ended up happening. I don't know, Lo, you jumped in right away. You think that could happen?
Now, that, if you said, what's more likely is an outside source trying to hack in than the teams, that would I wouldn't prison bet. Now, that I think will happen. I believe, without a doubt, the people from the outside, oh, my God, let's try to check this feed. Some smart, some geek that's saying, I want to break in and see if I can shut this down. Now, that is something that I could see someone trying to do. But I don't think teams are going to put up. I think Dibs, they're trying to protect themselves. Right now, these teams are doing these dry runs. They're making sure their systems are up and working. They're making sure any glitches in it. They're saying, okay, let's get 1,000 people on the line. Let's see how much capacity, bandwidth is at. So they're doing all those things first. And they've already said, hey, we got to get the best IT. The whole NFL, the NFL's not letting, oh, team, you take care of yours. Oh, team, you take care of yours. This is a universal type of a deal. This is the NFL together, and they probably got the highest of the stuff together. Don't think it's just, we're going to just think this out, and, oh, each team's getting theirs individually. No, that's not how it works.
So impenetrable is not what the NFL's cybersecurity would be characterized as. And if you're
a
former
with the government, they work with all those different things. There's a lot of things that they've. I'm sorry, Dibs. Go ahead. My bad. I jumped on that one a little.
That's it. Okay, you recognize it and you apologize for it, Dibs. No harm, no foul.
Apology not accepted. He talk blocked me throughout the entirety of the segment, and then if I dared to offer up a counterpoint, he interjected me while menacingly gesturing with his. His station-issued coffee cup, which is quite a look in and of itself. I just think you're being a little naive, Lo, to think that teams aren't going to at least devote a resource, a young intern, to maybe probe around and see what they might be able to find.
This is going to be fascinating. It'd be great if, with the first pick in the draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select, listen to Joe Lo and Dibs, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 on 95.7 The Game. Be like, hey,
that'd
look, that's
awesome.
Us. Someone from the Billions hacked them, and the whole world is now exposed to the show, although they kind of were anyway. But
is the risk worth the reward, Joe? Is the risk worth the reward?
I mean, videotaping the Rams walkthrough seemed to be worth it for the Patriots. It started their dynasty. Deflategate seemed to be worth it because Warren Sharp, our good friend from Sharp Football Analysis, went back through and showed how over the course of a series of years, the Patriots fumbled the ball fewer than anybody in the NFL, that perhaps deflating the ball gave them a better grip. I would generally say probably not. It'd be a small piece of information that maybe you could glean. But the reality is, look at what happened with the Astros. When someone put together those Jose Altuve home road splits in the World Series, I was just flabbergasted by that. Like, that was such damning evidence that this guy at home was dominating opposing pitching. And then on the road, he was a nobody. He's an absolute nobody, and you unwrap and unravel more and more of that scandal, and you think to yourself, man, look at how far this went. How many people were involved? The banging, the cameras, the tech people that had to be in there, running down the hallway to look what's going on in the camera, wearing possible buzzers. I mean, think about that operation, the cost, the scope, the amount of people, the meetings you have to pull that off. I do think this is an opportunity, but I think a lot of teams look at it and they'd rather devote their time to protecting themselves rather than going after someone else. I think you have enough on your plate where Lynch, Shanahan, they're not even going to be in the same room. I think everyone here, this draft is a 110-yard pitching iron. Just go out there and swing it easy, right? You don't need to kill the ball. You don't need to try to nestle it right next to the pin. Just loft it up there, get the nice trajectory, land it on the putting surface, and then take your putter from the caddy and walk on up to the green. That's it. I don't think you're trying to do too much here. No one wants to swing and miss on some risky prospects. No one's going to want to blow this thing from a tech standpoint. You're going to have a lot of things you need to communicate. Just make good sound picks and move on to the next phase. That's it. Safety is going to be first. All right. Here's a question for you. I stumbled into something this morning. Tiger Woods at his peak. Was anyone better in any sport at any point in history at their peak? Think about that. We got some numbers. We got a Tiger anniversary to talk about. But when Tiger Woods was at his absolute best, is there any athlete in any era, in any sport, that was better at their peak, at what they did, than what Woods was doing when he was at his peak. Joe Lowe and Dibs back with that next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Kanya!
On 95.7 The Game.
Golden State Lumber. As an essential service, their lumber yards are going to remain open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Call 855-GSL-YARD or visit goldenstatelumber.com today. Kirk Reeder set to join us in about 13 minutes at 7 o'clock. Question for you. Any athlete, any era, any sport, more dominant at their peak than Tiger Woods? I never really gave it that much thought. I think I found myself in these conversations every now and again, but I don't know if I ever came up with a definitive answer. The reason I ask you that today is this is the 19-year anniversary of Tiger Woods winning the Masters for the second time. The reason this one gets highlighted a little bit is because it completed the famous Tiger Slam. He didn't win all four majors in the same year, but in 2000, the year he won the U.S. Open, the Open Championship, and the PGA. Then he went to Augusta the following spring in April, and he won the Masters, which gave him four in a row. Tiger Slam. So I'm looking at this, and I went through his Wikipedia page and some of his big wins. In an eight-year stretch from 2000 to 2007, so 8 years, four majors per year, 32 total majors, he won 11 of them. He won 34% of the majors over 8 years. It's not one-on-one. It's one guy versus, what, 155, 134, whatever the event may be. He won eight majors in 32 attempts over an eight-year span from 2000 to 2007. To put that in perspective, Belichick and Brady won six Super Bowls in 19 tries. Tiger Woods won 11 majors in 32 tries. So the Patriots just less than 33%. Tiger Woods just over 33%. I'm thinking to myself, three Masters, three PGAs, three Open Championships, two U.S. Open Championships, 11 majors in 32 years, or 32 tries over 8 years. Is that the most dominant peak we've ever seen? Is there any athlete in any sport in any era that's been more dominant at their sport than Woods was during that run?
It's tough to say when you compare other sports, Lo. The first name I thought of is a guy who is purported to have cheated and admitted to have cheated, Lance Armstrong, a guy who was dominant in his sport for that long. And the other name, Lo, I thought of just from an individual standpoint, Usain Bolt, winner of the 100 and the 200 over three Olympiads, 12 years. But again, that's only once every 4 years, Lo. That's not four times every year like Tiger in the majors.
Yeah, I think that when you look at what Tiger has done, his odds for that long was unbelievable. I think that another person that had odds like that, if not higher, for a period of time until trouble hit his life, and before trouble and before he went astray, I think probably he had some dominant run like that to Mike Tyson.
Baddest dude on the planet, they said. I mean, he wasn't just ending dudes. He was ending them quick.
That's the thing. How dominant he was. Muhammad Ali had Frazier, had still guys that he had. It was a fight. Mike Tyson, it wasn't a fight. Tiger Woods, it was just like, Tiger had odds like the Warriors. It was Tiger versus the field. You remember that when he was getting ready to play golf, it was Tiger versus the field. You could not, Tiger was against the field. And
you weren't comfortable. In his peak, if someone said you could have Tiger or the field, you'd be like, ooh, I don't know. I mean, the field gives me a lot of golfers, but do I want to bet against Woods? Like, you honestly have to think about that. In any era now, you could give me any golfer now. Oh, Rory versus the field. The field. You won't even have to finish the damn sentence. I'm taking the field. I'm not even considering it. Tiger at his peak, it'd be like, I don't know if I want to bet against this guy. I mean, if he's in contention on Sunday, he's going to win the damn thing.
Absolutely. So that's the thing that was that sheer Tiger factor that you just like, oh, my God. So I don't know. I don't know for the stint that he was at that peak Dibs for 8 years as solid was. It's hard. It's hard to find one.
Yeah, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Go ahead, Dibs.
No, just when you look at how he did it. And yesterday I was watching a lot of the Golf Channel because the Masters would be starting tomorrow. And, you know, you're missing the par three event and the drive chip and putt would have been Sunday, the great kids event that's also at Augusta. So I've been feeling some kind of way about missing out on the Masters, and they showed the 97, a little bit of the 97 Masters where Tiger wins by 12, and he sets the record for lowest score over four rounds, and you realize just how much better he was than his peers when he erupted on the scene. Colin Montgomery was talking about how, yeah, Monty's hitting it 270 off the tee. Pretty good for 1997. Tiger comes out and he's hitting it 320, you know, 50 yards past the other guys. He was such a freakish athlete at the time, mixed with the unbelievable drive that his dad instilled in him and the work ethic and all that. And you can see, looking back, just how much better than the rest of the golfers he was.
He was the one that brought weightlifting and advanced training to the tour. You used to have pudgy, sloppy old guys running around out there. Woods was the guy who showed up all ripped, and people realized, if I want to get the three bones with my driver, I'm going to need better technology, but I'm also going to need to work out. He threw out a tweet yesterday, quote, Masters Champions Dinner quarantine style. Nothing better than being with family. Now, I can't tell if this is his home or if he's out, but it's him wearing his green jacket and, of course, the traditional Nike red underneath. It's with his two kids, and it's his, I don't know if he got remarried, but his girlfriend and their dog. In the background, I see a par three and a beautiful landscape, but he's so rich, that could be his. So I can't tell if this is his home or if he's out at a nice restaurant, but he did have a Masters Champions dinner last night. Ryan in Antioch with the phone call. Ryan, Tiger Woods at his peak won 11 majors in 32 tries over 8 years. Is there any athlete in all of sports in any era that was better and more dominant at their peak?
I'd like to say, what's up, guys? You guys are doing a good job. Love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
And I'd say Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps is a good one. Chilton Auto Body's all over Michael Phelps. Another name I'll throw out, Serena Williams. Phelps did it over how many Olympiad? How many was he?
Wow.
Like four?
I think so.
He's got 36 goals.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Or maybe 36 total medals. And
36 total. But that,
yeah. He's got
20-some goals.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up. Had to be near 20. That's your guy, Lowe. How close of friends are you guys? How many times you guys hung out?
Can't be that close.
He's a big-time Ravens fan, and Lowe technically did play for the Ravens.
Yeah, but so did guys like Ray Lewis. You start high. You start with Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Marshall Yanda, a lot of famous guys, Haloti Ngata, obviously. You work your way down. You get to Lowe at some point. It's a one-year thing. Phelps, come on.
You know, every week we'd pretty much hang out, you know, all the home games and stuff, and go have a couple pops together, you know, and was able enough to get his phone number. So, I mean, and he had mine and called.
You think that same thing still works? Invite him to the Lemoore fights week from Saturday. You and Michael Phelps with Dana White ringside. Tachi Palace.
Safe distance, Joe. Phelps. That was a good pull, by the way.
I don't know. Is internet not working? Is Michael Phelps' page not working? I don't know. I got all types of issues over here. That's a good one, though. That's a really good one.
I pulled up the Mike Tyson, to your point about the dominance. Here's how his fights went starting from the beginning. First round TKO, then it's first round fourth, first, second, third, first, second, first. His first 16 fights, all knockouts or TKOs.
Damn.
He, 50 seconds in, minute 19, minute 17, 54 seconds, 37 seconds, 39 seconds. You talk about your one-hitter quitters, Joe. Not even two pieces. He's giving these guys one pieces.
And sleep. And they're
sleeping. Oh, yeah. How do you get TKO'd? How do you get TKO'd in the first? Like, I can see how you get knocked out in the first, but how do you get to a point where they stop the fight in the first round?
I know he had some
Ricardo Spain that from June 20th, 1985. 39 seconds, TKO at Steel Pier in Atlantic City.
Dibs. Okay, he had some potato chips, but pull up Spinks. How fast did he knock up when fighting for the title? When he knocked out Spinks, how fast was that knockout? And that wasn't a potato chip. That's
fight
for
the title. 31, Lowe. That got him to 35 and
0. Oh, okay. That's minute 31.
That took a while. He really took his time with that one. It's like the buffet at Caesars. Just ease your way through it. My God. Floyd Mayweather, if we're going to talk boxing, people don't like him, but let's be honest, he never lost, and he never really ever found himself in danger. There were, two fights maybe in his entire career where he found himself in a little bit of danger? That's it.
Yeah.
Cotto had him for a little bit, and then Floyd won all the final rounds, but Cotto had a really good game plan. And then there was a fight earlier, back when he was Pretty Boy Floyd. Someone had him in a controversial decision, and then after that, I don't think anyone ever got close ever again. De La Hoya gave it a good go, but it wasn't enough. Serena Williams popping up quite a bit. I mean, you'd be remiss if you don't mention Serena Williams' dominance over, two decades where she's just owned it. She won the Australian Open pregnant a couple years ago, if memory serves. I mean, that's something I couldn't even imagine. Barry Bonds as a hitter. I had that one written down. There was that run where Barry's numbers were just in through the roof, but... I mean, do you count that? You got to ask yourself. The first thing you did with Lance Armstrong, Dibs, was mention it and then say, "Eh, I don't know if we can go with it. I don't know if we can go with Barry." Lo, what do you got?
Yeah. When you mention it, you got to put a companion on it. Go ahead, Lo.
Yeah, no, it's hard not to, because in the era, you got to still mention these guys' names. I know you mentioned Lance. You know what? You talk about Lance, and you look at what he did, his Tour de France, and you know Barry Bonds. People, dude, it wasn't unreal. I mean, you can't take away from what you saw. It was absolutely amazing. That's why we're sitting here talking about it. So many people were doing it, but look what he was able to do. So, you got to still mention him. You got to mention Lance, because what they did is unprecedented.
Nice guy. How do I find the Google document for the callers as I break the fourth wall and welcome the audience into our back channel dealings?
Ryan Reynolds right. here.
Dibs can hold it down.
Nice guy, why don't you just set him up? Because I got some sort of issue. My internet's not giving me anything right now, so I'm going to go old school here. Why don't you just tee up the caller and welcome him to the show?
All right, we got Phil in San Jose who wants to weigh in. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hello. All right, Phil, what do you got?
Hey, Wayne Gretzky, man, come on.
Old Wayne.
He was dominant for so many years in both scoring and especially assists over damn near 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, how do you say no to that? It's he's got some crazy. I mean, I think the 1 year he's got the assist record. He had more assists one season than you generally see anyone in the NHL these days put up in terms of points. So goals plus assists. Wayne's got some numbers out there that are Bonzian, that are like Greg Maddoxian. I don't know how you'd say it, but you get where I'm going. Like some numbers that you would never even contemplate touching, that for the rest of time in hockey, Wayne Gretzky's got numbers that'll never get close. Kind of like Jerry. Jerry's got some that'll probably be broken, but he's got others that no one will ever get to, right? Ever. I mean, that's what Gretzky's done, and he's put a lot of them up there. So, yeah, his level of dominance, without question, that's a fantastic call.
Joe, nice he guy, led Phil. The league in assists 13 straight years, Wayne Gretzky did.
Wow.
In assists. In 11 of those years, Lo, he had more than 100 assists, and they play 82 games. If you play all 82, he crested 100 assists, which to do it once is an unbelievable season. He did it 11 straight times.
Oh, wait. He had over 100 assists 11 straight times?
Correct. From 80-81 all the way through 90-91, he was over 100, including 1 year he had 163 assists, Joe.
Wow.
163 assists in 80 games played.
Put a body on that guy. How are you going to let him just pass willy-nilly all over the place? Get yourself a Nicky Bosa.
But that just goes to show you what a scoring threat he was as well. If you can get that type of assist, that just goes to say, hey, man, this guy can do anything he wants out on that ice.
That's kind of how you end up with a nickname, the Great One. Right? Like, it doesn't really get a whole lot better than that. There are some cool nicknames out there, but if people are calling you the Great One, I know The Rock took that for himself at one point. It is good. It's good. But for Gretzky, that, I mean, wow. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Outstanding to have you with us as always. Your guest list for the remainder of the show, Keith Law, baseball insider in 1 hour. Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ at 9:05. Dan Orlovsky at 9:30. And a caller participation segment at 8:30 today. You can go back in time and you can change one NFL draft pick. Any team, any draft, any round, any pick.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.